Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us today on Target. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang, and it's our mission to talk to you every week about subjects that we think are interesting and important and topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And recently, I, as part of my job, actually, as a judicial hearing officer, I attended a really fascinating lecture. And it was part of a lunch and learn series that we're doing in the courts. And it was about something that is known as a group, an organization, that's a better way to put it, known as the Center for Resolution and Justice. And this Center for Resolution and Justice is actually part of the division of Child and Family Services. And what they were trying to accomplish, well, by the name, you can imagine what they do. What they are trying to accomplish was, I want to say, sort of avoiding litigation and solving matters through matters in the courts, matters between families, matters between families, acquaintances, people that know each other, issues that arise that might ordinarily end up in litigation. This organization is trying to do exactly what the name says, Center for Resolution, resolve and admit justice, administer justice without going through antagonistic litigation through the courts and through juries and all kinds of litigation. I say that several times, but that is what they're really trying to avoid. And they have been working at this for quite some time, but there's many new programs that they were involved with, that they were informing those of us who are involved in the criminal justice system and in the justice system per se about how these matters work and how the litigation could be resolved and how people could actually come together. And I love this sort of peace, make peace in a nonviolent way. And as we know, we really need a lot more of that. And in the studio with me today is Julie Lesh, and she is the executive director of this particular center. And she is going to, has told me, and before we went on the air, but also the group that was attending this lecture, about a lot of new programs that are being started and services that are going to be available to accomplish these resolutions and to accomplish justice in the courts. And she's come to the studio on Target with us today, and thank you so much. Much for coming. I didn't even have to twist your arm to do that. I know how busy you are, but I know you want to spend some time, worthwhile time, getting the word out to the public and to people about these services that are available, which I tell you the truth, until I went to this lecture during last month, I guess it was, I was like totally unaware of some of these projects and some of the what the organization does. And I was so interested to find out. I thought, we've got to pass this on to the public because they are the ones that need to know about these services. So first of all, thank you for coming, Julie. And second of all, what in general is the Center for Resolution and Justice? That's a very awe-inspiring name. What does it mean?
Thank you, Judge. Thank You're you welcome. Very much for having me here today. The Center for Resolution and Justice, or CRJ, as we like to call ourselves, for the reason you just described, it's a little bit less
I like
assuming.
It better, right?
The Center for Resolution and Justice is a community-based dispute resolution organization through which we operate a variety of programs and services and training that allow individuals to resolve a whole wide range of disputes. And you said it yourself, whether it be family members seeking to resolve custody or visitation issues as they're separately co-parenting their children, whether it be neighbors who are dealing with disagreements about noise or garbage or crossing one another's property, or roommates or landlords and tenants. Those are just a sample of a variety of disputes that we might resolve, as you said, that might otherwise end up, and sometimes does end up, in local courts throughout Western New York.
I didn't even know that this existed, really, because until I went to hear you, as I said, the things that you just mentioned, they all are, like, take up a lot of time and a lot of personnel and a lot of court procedures. And if they could be resolved without going to, like, small claims court or family court or criminal court, it's a great advantage to everybody.
Absolutely. We are involved currently in city courts, town and village courts, family courts, small claims, all throughout Western New York. In most counties, we have at least one court-connected program. And also, individual community members don't have to wait until something results in going to court before they can avail themselves of our services. We take direct calls from individuals all the time. We take referrals from attorneys who may have a client that they're representing, but the matter is really more of a life issue than it is a legal issue, if that makes sense. If the underlying basis is really an interpersonal conflict, chances are the parties are going to be able to get a much more personal, appropriate outcome that meets their needs than they will be able to get if they proceed in court.
This is amazing. I'm so glad we're talking about this on Target because, like, our mission, like I said, is to discuss different subjects that affect people's, like, in their everyday lives, their health, their peace of mind, their education, you know, all the different subjects that lifestyle. And then this is, like, so important that people could resolve issues without not just litigation, but acrimony. But I need to know, like, if people are listening, how would they get to find you? How would they get their issue before you?
Sure. If any of the listeners were to have something in mind or know about somebody else who has an issue in mind that might lend itself to one of our services, really you could Google mediation or conflict resolution in Western New York, and chances are we'll come up pretty high in the list of returns on Google or whatever search engine you use. Also, we can be reached by phone at 716-362-2323 or via email mediate@cfsbny.org. Both the email and the phone number terminate in our office in Buffalo, and then our staff in Buffalo will transfer the call, a warm transfer, where you can immediately speak to somebody within the county that you reside.
So is this, when you say the county that you reside, this is not just in Erie County? Where is the Center for Resolution and Justice located, and what's the jurisdiction?
Sure. Our jurisdiction actually mirrors the jurisdiction of the 8th Judicial District, which is really the 8 Western New York counties: Erie, Niagara, Genesee, Orleans, Allegheny, Cattaraugus, and Wyoming, and Chautauqua.
I've learned those because Supreme Court was the 8th Judicial District.
Yes.
So that was all within my jurisdiction, and it's a big trick to say all those 8 counties. You did really well saying those 8 counties, Julie.
Thank you. Writing, I would do it alphabetically, but I didn't trust myself to say it that way. So we have offices in several of those counties, in Buffalo, in Batavia, in Jamestown, in Lockport. And then we work in courts in most of those counties. And our staff and our mediators are also willing to travel to various community locations so that some matters don't have to be addressed and resolved in locations that our clients and parties might be intimidated to go into. And so we try to make this really convenient. We try to meet people in locations they're comfortable in. We try to work around their schedules. And so another important thing to mention about our coverage within the 8th Judicial District, that's not really a coincidence. That's also because we are one of 21 community dispute resolution centers around New York State that is partially funded by the New York State court system to address these sorts of matters. For all of the reasons that you already mentioned, Judge, in 1982 when these programs were initiated, the main purpose was really to address the backlog that was experienced in city courts in criminal and small claims of matters that really were interpersonal in nature and didn't belong in the courts. And since that time, we've really expanded to things like custody and visitation in family court, divorce mediation, workplace conflict, juvenile justice work as part of Raise the Age, and all sorts of other initiatives as well.
So it is what I said at the beginning. I kind of was guessing, but it's actually been going on for a long time. But you have like started small with maybe one of those areas, and seeing the need has expanded to, like you said, family court matters and all the other things that you mentioned. Let me ask you for examples. We're saying like generically, but what are some examples of matters that might come before you?
Oh, absolutely. So one example that comes to mind that is really frequent for us in family court would be a couple that are divorced now or were never married and are tasked with, you know, parenting their children together, even though they're no longer in a relationship. And so there may be issues around, you know, sending the children home with clothes that aren't laundered or what time you're being picked up from one another's opportunity to spend time with the children, or potentially there's other family members that are sort of getting involved with their opinions as to how things should be done. What school should the children go to? What religion should the children follow? All the kinds of things that, you know, frankly, when they're together, couples often fight over or hash out, suddenly become kind of the business of all sorts of other strangers if they are brought before the court system. So having the opportunity to once again try to sit back and work on these things together with the assistance of a trained neutral third party, the mediator, really gives them much more control over what the outcome might look like.
And that's an important part worth talking about. Who and how are these matters resolved? Who is the mediator? Not a name, but I mean, what type of person, what training is the person going to have that's going to try to bring these parties together?
Excellent question. Our mediators come from all walks of life, and we do as much as we can to get the word out, like today, that we are always accepting interested individuals who are looking to become mediators with the center. There is a rigorous training requirement. As you can imagine, this isn't the type of work that somebody, you know, appears at our office one day and sits down and works with parties in conflict the next. There is an initial week-long training called basic mediation training, again, with a curriculum that's been established by the court system, so that any one of these mediation centers like mine throughout the state, mediators will have had the same training. It's really nice in terms of consistency and uniformity in terms of the experience that our parties have when they come to us for mediation. After that lengthy initial mediation training process, there is then an apprenticeship that we support and sponsor, where individual newly trained mediators are paired with our experienced staff and senior mediators. They observe mediations going on. They co-mediate with another mediator and receive feedback about their performance, if you will. And eventually, they mediate a case on their own under the observation of myself or another staff person or an experienced mediator who helps make a decision as to whether that individual is ready to mediate on their own. And then every year, there is ongoing education and opportunities to network with fellow mediators along the way.
So we were talking about people who are professional, I mean professionally trained, like you said, the mediator. So they've been gone through these courses. They're certified in some way, actually, by the state.
Right. So we certify that the person has completed the training. The New York State court system is quick to remind us that they are not certifying the mediators, but the centers are doing that on a center-by-center basis based on their training standards. And our mediators at CRJ are coming to us from all sorts of other professions. We have attorneys who mediate with us. We have teachers and retired educators who mediate with us, social workers, business professionals, and also volunteers from all walks of life who may not be in a particular profession, but have a lot of life experience to lend to help our clients resolve a wide range of disputes.
If you just tuned in today, you are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are discussing today the Center for Resolution and Justice, and in the studio with us is Julie Lesh, who is the executive director. And we didn't mention, but you wanted me to, that a lot of this, or all of it, is under the auspices of the Child and Family Services organization, which we are familiar with. We've talked to them several times about their programs on Target. And they're like the parent or the, umbrella organization that takes care of this group.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. Child and Family Services, as you're familiar, has a wide range of programs. It's one of the oldest, largest human service organizations in the area. And the Center for Resolution and Justice, or CRJ, my group became part of Child and Family Services in 2005. Prior to that, we were sponsored by the Better Business Bureau Dispute Settlement Center, which made a lot of sense in our early years when most of our focus was in the area of consumer, merchant, or small claims disputes. As we've developed a real focus and specialty in the family arena, Child and Family Services has been an excellent home, if you will, for our program.
More like human services.
Absolutely.
Developed into human services. Not more like human services.
Yes,
Sound like a kid. Like? So now, I know you have some new programs that you're really excited about, a pilot program and some initiatives, and I wanted to, have an opportunity to talk about them before our time is up. One, you said, is something called restorative justice, which I'd love to explain to our listeners.
Sure. Restorative justice or restorative justice practices are ways that victims of crime or individuals that have been harmed by somebody else have the opportunity to share their story, what happened, how it impacted them, and what it's going to take to make things right with the offender or perpetrator of the harm, face-to-face, in the same room, if the victim is willing and wanting to do this, and with community members who can really represent the interests of community safety. So these processes bring all of those individuals together and allow them to have a discussion, again, about what happened and what the ramifications of behavior were, how it really impacted those involved, and then together they create a plan going forward to address the situation and repair and resolve that situation.
This really sounds like something on television. It hardly sounds real because stories about this on television where a person gets to, a victim gets to see their accuser or discuss it, or you know, and try to get closure, I guess, is really one of the reasons that they're saying that. And it really works?
Absolutely. We have just had our 40th referral from Erie County Probation of young people, juveniles, who have committed some sort of harm or engaged in a behavior that would be considered a crime if they were adults. So it could be trespassing across a property of an elderly neighbor. It's getting into controversies with parents and caregivers, and furniture gets broken. It's having a fight with a classmate in school, or something that might have started in school spilling over onto public transportation, for example. All of those things make their way into probation. And probation uses an assessment tool to determine, is this the type of situation that might lend itself to a restorative justice practice? And this effort here in Erie County that Child and Family Services, CRJ, is taking the lead on in terms of managing the effort was initiated and championed by Family Court Judge Brenda Friedman. And so with her support and direction and effort, we engaged in a year and a half long planning process with county attorneys, with attorneys for the children, with the Department of Social Services and probation. And we developed a protocol that everybody felt comfortable with so that we could try this out with young people and really give them a chance to understand the consequences of their behavior and hopefully really right the wrong and get on the right path to avoid further penetration into the system, which, as we all know, oftentimes results in involvement in the adult criminal system as well.
Right. So, I mean, definitely, as you've said, the earlier the better that this behavior could be addressed and prevent something from escalating into a senior adult crime.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Then also, I wanted to take a minute to talk about the county dispute resolution group. What's the end of it? County dispute resolution. Something.
The community dispute resolution.
Community.
Yes. Yeah. So it's another initiative that we are operating under CRJ. It's just the name of a program that we're relaunching in Buffalo City Court with the public defenders and the district attorneys, and under Judge Hannah's leadership. We are back in Buffalo City Court, and very similar to what I just described in juvenile justice matters in family court, we are now back and offering mediation for minor misdemeanors and violations, of which the underlying basis, again, is some sort of interpersonal conflict. So even if that matter proceeded further in criminal court, the means available to address and resolve that issue just aren't there. You know, people are returning to their family, they're returning to their same neighborhood, their same apartment, and none of these issues go away unless they're resolved and discussed and resolved by the parties that are involved in the matter. So we're really pleased that we've been able to work out a way of bringing this service back into city court. And we're beginning with our first referrals next week, I believe, middle of next week.
And again, it's another example of trying to resolve matters between parties without acrimony, without going involving the courts, officially the courts, without going through all of like trial procedures and all the money. It's got to save money, too.
Absolutely. It saves money for the court system in particular, who is tasked with addressing and dealing with all of these matters unless they're otherwise resolved in a program like ours. And also for the parties themselves. You know, Judge, from being around the courtroom and overhearing conversations, I mean, people are taking time off of work, often from jobs in which they don't have paid time off.
Absolutely.
They're paying for parking. They have child care issues. They're walking several blocks to find the court. They're not sure where it is. It's unfamiliar. They go in. They wait a long period of time without people letting them know exactly what's going on, and oftentimes only to find out that the matter is being adjourned until further notice. So for them to be able to, you know, come one time possibly to a mediation session and spending 2 hours, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours, and putting everything on the table in such a way that they can figure out a path forward, that's a huge savings to them as well. And you said it, not just financially, but that emotional cost of long-term conflict as well.
And something that's being resolved by the parties through agreement or mediation probably works better than having somebody, a judge or a jury, decide it for you, because that, I think, psychologically, it's happier people. Happier.
Absolutely.
Results in happier people.
Absolutely. And you also said it, when the parties themselves have a decision-making role, a voice in how things are resolved, the compliance rate, the follow-through with that agreement exceeds 70%. In small claims, that's really worth pointing out. People oftentimes say, why would I come to mediation for small claims? There's no enforcement. You can't force the other person to pay. And sometimes we'll share the data with them and say, you know, 80% of our cases in this particular small claims court, parties are receiving compliance with that agreement. They're receiving payments. Even in a matter where a small claims judge has ordered restitution, the repayment rates are below 20%.
Yes, so which I'm well aware of. So anything that can be resolved is always makes people happier than have a third party making the decision for you. It's just common sense. We only have a minute, but I wanted to mention that you're going to have a victim services program also, which is something new and innovative.
Absolutely. We're really excited about this. The New York State Office of Victim Services announced an attorney services grant program last year. And so CRJ applied for that grant with the Center for Elder Law and Justice and Neighborhood Legal Services, two legal service organizations in our community. And we applied for funding to allow us to establish a collaboration to expand the definition of access to justice to include not just access to legal services, but access to alternative dispute resolution, the things that we've been discussing during this program, Judge. And so victims of crime will be able to retain, they will be able to receive attorneys to support and help them resolve civil legal needs as a result of their victimization. And through the partnership and association with CRJ, they will also have access to things like restorative justice and mediation. We know justice means different things to those who seek it. And for some, an apology, the repairing of a relationship, the end of conflict, or a fresh start is more important to them than anything else. And so this unique collaboration will allow them to access both attorneys when they need that help for representation, and also our dispute resolution programs. So we're very excited about that, and we're looking forward to a press conference on that coming up on Friday, June 21st.
However, I want to tell our listeners, they heard it first on Target here with Penny Wolfgang. So please listen every week, and thank you so much for joining us and sharing all this information, Julie. And also, all of you, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to being with you again on Target next week. Same time, same place. Have a really good week, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.